Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or if there's some topic you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and we have a line open for you as well. It's Basic Gospel, and again, 844-322-2742, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is just one of those fabulous chapters of the Word of God. And Paul is just at his best when he's describing this new covenant and this ministry that he's been given. He was made competent as a minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why? Because the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. So Paul was out ministering life to people. He was offering the life of Christ, saying it's available to you. If only you will recognize Jesus for who he is and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And those who did received life. They received Christ life. And he goes through this series of contrasts between the old covenant and the new covenant, and that was kind of the foundational statement. And he gets down to verse 14. It says, "But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away." So when Moses came down from the mountain, there was this radiance that shone on him. That was after asking God, "Show me your glory." And so God did, and that glory radiated Moses' face, so much so that it scared all the Israelites. So he put a veil to hide that glow, that radiance. And over time, it started to fade. Mm-hmm. Now, the Israelites couldn't see it because there was a veil. Well, what's Paul doing here? He's saying that same veil remains over the hearts of people who read the Old Covenant in hopes that they're going to find the 10 steps or the way of salvation. And he says that veil is only lifted when people turn to Jesus Christ. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So it's like this old covenant, when it's read improperly, really becomes a fog, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it does.
And the reality is in that fog, and when the fog moves away, you see Jesus for who he is. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's getting at, isn't he?
Yeah. This past weekend, we had a guest speaker at our church, at Valley Creek Church, and he talked about this passage, and he related a story of a friend of his who had gone to see this mountain range, a beautiful mountain setting, never been there before, got a nice hotel, drove there, and when they got there, it was covered in fog and drizzle. Couldn't see a thing. So they were disappointed, but okay, we're here. They checked in, they went to bed, they got up in the morning, and the fog had lifted. He opens the curtains and looks out the window at this spectacular view. And he said to his friend after getting home, he says, "It hit me while I was standing there that the mountain had been there the whole time. It hadn't just shown up overnight. It had been there, and the fog needed to go away in order to see the mountain." That's exactly what Paul is saying here. You've got to stop looking at the law for the glory of Jesus.
Yes.
The law had some glory, but it was nothing compared to the surpassing glory of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important for us to understand that when Jesus died, he ushered in a new covenant. Mm-hmm. And it's through this new covenant that we can see Jesus clearly, because Jesus really is God's gift to us. When we receive and believe the gospel, we're receiving him. Mm-hmm. He gives us his very life. Now, if you want to keep trying to earn righteousness through obedience to the law, through human effort, through following a series of rules, regulations, and rituals, then Jesus is going to remain behind that veil. But when you finally come to the end of yourself and realize that you've got nothing, that you need a Savior, That's when your eyes begin to see clearly that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that in Jesus is life and life everlasting. So if this Christian life isn't making sense to you, if you feel like you're just seeing haze in front of you and fog in front of you, maybe it's time to come to the end of yourself. And when I say that, to the end of your human effort, the end of all of your dead works, dead religious works, put all those aside and say, none of that is going to enable me to see what I'm looking for. And just let the grace of God open your eyes clearly and show you the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And we'll go talk to Shelley in Garden City, Michigan in just a moment. But, Bob, in the meantime, you have something special for our listeners, new listeners particularly.
I do. Our new listeners, we want to put something into your hands. You know, we're all trying to find God's will for our life, and a lot of times that becomes a veil over our eyes.
Yes.
We're not seeing clearly. And really, the answer to God's will for you is Jesus. What does God want you to see? Jesus. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was baptized, when he was transfigured before the disciples, the voice of God was heard saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." So what is God's will for you? To listen to Jesus Christ. And he who hears his voice and follows, he'll be saved. And so that's God's will for you. And now once you're saved, it's in trusting Jesus. God wants you to listen to Jesus all the time and to trust him and depend upon him. That's God's will for you. And you express that in an attitude of thankfulness. Now, we want to put a CD in your hands. It's free for the asking. If you're new to Basic Gospel, you're a new listener, we want to gift you with this. And you can call right now, 844-322-2742. Ask for your copy, request your copy of God's Will for You. We'll get it to you as quickly as possible. Or they can order it online, too, can't they?
BasicGospel.net/free is the address you need to go to for God's Will for You. That's the CD that Bob is talking about. Again, you can find it at BasicGospel.net/free. In addition to the phone line, where Michelle will answer your call right now at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go up to Garden City, Michigan, and talk with Shelley, listening to us on the great WMUZ. Hi, Shelley.
Yes, hi.
How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Well, what's on your mind?
Okay. I am doing a Bible study with my grandchildren who live in Seattle, Washington. And they're 11 years old and 8 years old. And what I started with, I'm on like my third lesson. What I started with is the gospel, to explain what the gospel is to them, you know, the death, burial, resurrection, and why Jesus died, and sin, and all of that. And now I'm getting into salvation. So I told my daughter what I was doing, and she says, "Mother, you know, they asked me a question. I don't know how to answer it. And I want to know the simplest way or what verses I can use to explain to them." Their question was, "Who created God? Where did God come from?" And this is a wonderful question for them to ask. But I wanted the best explanation or the best verses that I can use to tell them this.
Yeah, well, Shelley, that's a great question, and you know, only out of the mouth of kids, right?
Yeah.
They ask those questions. Where did God come from? Well, there's he didn't come from anything or from anywhere. He's just always been. And I guess the absolute best passage to answer that question is Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God." So God has just always existed. Now, that's hard for us to understand. I mean, we're yeah. our finite minds really have a hard time grasping that. But I think God impressed Moses just to put it in the most simplest of terms. He's always been.
I am. I was just looking at this one. Okay, I was reading about when the Israelite or when the when Moses said, "What should I tell them? Who you are?"
Yes.
You know, because they had many gods, and he said, "I am that I am."
Yes.
And then this one verse I'm reading. This is in a if I can mention his name, Adrian Rogers.
Yeah.
A book from him. The one who is self-existing, I am that I am, and never ending. But it's still so hard. I think my daughter's already said this to them. Actually, I think I've mentioned this verse before. And John 1:1.
Yes.
Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Yeah, that's a retelling of Genesis 1:1. It's kind of the New Testament version. So it's just to say that in the beginning God, well, in the beginning Jesus as well. So he pre-existed creation. But I think Shelley, that name of God as he gave it to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I mean, that's the most telling passage about the very nature, the pre-existence of God in this world. And at some point, there's not a single theologian alive that can explain this. There's no human being that can give an adequate explanation. And at some point, you just have to say he's always been, and because he's always been, he decided to create us. And that's the great story, is that he had such love in his heart that he wanted to include us in his love reality. And so he created us in such a way that we could enjoy his love. And now through Jesus Christ, we can enjoy his love and his presence with us and in us forever. And that really is the good news, isn't it, Shelley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it really does my heart good to hear you with such a desire to share truth with your grandkids, and to really help bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. So at a point in time, they can put their full weight of trust in him and receive him into their lives.
I just really fast, I know you have more people waiting, but verses like, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. Now, I have that verse also, and that's why I'm looking for more verses so I can build on these things. You gave me Genesis 1:1, and then I have my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my way are higher than your ways.
Yeah, and if you want to do a follow-up on that, Isaiah 55, I would suggest 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
First Corinthians 2, okay.
Yeah, and it says, you know, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Spirit.
Can you give the exact verse for that? Sure.
Verses 9 through 16.
9 through 16, okay.
Yep.
And then Isaiah 55.
That's correct.
And what verse is there, sir?
Well, Isaiah 55 is where God says, my thoughts are higher than yours and my ways are higher than yours.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Okay. Well, this is going to help me. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, and I love listening to you.
Well, thanks, Shelley.
Yes,
let us put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of our free gift this month, God's Will for You. You hang on, okay?
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Yeah, friends, we're only about 68 days away from the Israel 2019 tour, your opportunity to visit the land where the prophets and the apostles walked, and the Lord Jesus laid down his life and took it up again for you. Make your decision soon and join Bob Christopher for what likely will be the journey of a lifetime. Just click the link at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net, Israel 2019, and it'll be departing pretty soon now, about 68 days away. So it's a great time to make your reservation, because we're probably going to stop talking about it here in the next few days.
Well, Bob, I'm going to correct you. It's not going to likely be the trip of a lifetime. It will be a trip of a lifetime. I've been there six different times, I think, maybe five. I've lost count, but every one is unique, and it just gets better and better and better and better. And this is going to be a great size group. We're not taking any more than 20 people. And so you will really get to experience Israel like no one else.
Yeah.
So don't miss this opportunity to join us. All the information is at our website, basicgospel.net.
This is Joy from California calling again. Thank you for the answer you gave me last time. When the temple and Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, do you believe that that was God's judgment on the Jewish people for not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry, especially the religious hierarchy? They were so against him. And okay, I'm looking forward to hear your answer. Thank you so much.
Well, Joy, very insightful question. Mm-hmm. And it really goes back to Matthew 24. And we see in Matthew 24 a lot of prophetic words from Jesus, some that were to be fulfilled in close proximity to him giving those words, some that would be fulfilled at a much later date that hasn't been fulfilled yet. And how he starts out that conversation, he's left the temple and he was going away, and his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." So he was prophesying the destruction of the temple. And he had said things about the temple early on, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. So that temple represented the dwelling place of God. But when that temple was built, and when Herod really refurbished it and made it the temple that it was during those days, the glory of God never, ever entered into that.
Correct.
Their hearts were far away, as you can tell from reading the gospel accounts. They had a self-righteousness that was not pleasing as far as God was concerned. And when their Messiah stood right in front of him, they spit on him and they mocked him and they did all of these sort of things and they plotted against him to have him killed. Well, Jesus was the real temple of God. In him, the Godhead lived bodily.
Yes.
The fullness of the Godhead. So he was the temple. He was where heaven and earth met. Back in those days. And so they were rejecting him, and he was saying, hey, this temple where you think God lives is going to be destroyed, and you're going to have to look for the dwelling place of God elsewhere. And that elsewhere is in the body of Christ. So, yes, it was a judgment made by Jesus. This is going to happen. And it happened, didn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it did. And you gotta remember that the Jews were a chosen people for the express purpose of Jesus being born into the world. As soon as he was born and lived, was crucified, was resurrected, and went back to heaven, their job, so to speak, as the chosen people, was complete.
Yes.
It should have been a day of rejoicing.
Yes.
It wasn't, because they missed the point. The second issue is that all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, have been born spiritually dead. The Jews were just as spiritually dead as the Gentiles were. And Jesus even talked about that. He says, if you come to me, you have passed from death to life. You're no longer going to be under condemnation. But if you reject me, you are going to remain under condemnation. So the judgment of God is always death and life. He either judges you not to have believed in the Son and you die eventually, whether, you know, all of that we've talked about in the past, or you accept the Son, Jesus Christ, and you come to life, Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. So don't get hung up on the building. Get hung up on Jesus and let Jesus be the explanation of this whole thing.
Right. Absolutely. So well said. It was the end of an era. Mm-hmm. The law began at Mount Sinai some 1,500 years before Christ. Mm-hmm. It was time-stamped. It had a beginning and there was an end.
Yes.
And that end was Mount Calvary when mm-hmm. Jesus said, "It is finished." He had brought to completion, fulfillment. Didn't abolish, he fulfilled that old covenant. And to put an exclamation on that, comes the destruction of the temple, that there's a new era, a new covenant.
Yeah.
So if you want to go with God, if you want to be a part of this God story that is happening and always had been planned to happen in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you need to look to him. You need to look to the Son, not to the temple, not to the old laws and rituals and religious life and all of that, but look to the Son. Why? He is the completion of that story. I heard a pastor, a theologian, say that every Jewish person, if they really read their story, would become a Christian. Why? Because the end of the story is Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus is ushered in something new. And it gets right back to this passage that we started
yes,
with today.
The veil.
The veil. So we see really through the gospel accounts that veil. It covered the eyes of the Jewish leaders of that day. And when Jesus stood in front of them, they could not see him for who he was.
No.
Peter did, some of the followers, some of the disciples did. Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up and said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." He saw that. Why? Because God revealed that to him. God cut through all of that fog and lifted that veil, and Peter saw clearly. Now, Peter didn't see the whole story clearly.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a lot of what Jesus was all about, because right after Jesus asked that question, he started telling his disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem, and when I get there, I'm going to be handed over, and I'm going to be persecuted, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again." Now, Peter didn't understand that, and he stood up and said, "Oh, no, Lord, that is never, ever, ever going to happen to you." So he was seeing clearly on who Jesus was, but he was still in the fog as far as what Jesus had come to accomplish.
Yes.
And remember, there was this healing that Jesus touched a man's eyes, and he said, "What do you see?" And he said, "All I can see is men walking like trees." Mm-hmm. It wasn't clear. And then Jesus touched him again, and everything became clear. Well, Peter and the disciples were like that guy.
Yeah.
They were seeing something, but not clearly. It was only after the resurrection that they were able to see that Jesus truly accomplished exactly what he came to do, and that was to defeat sin and death so that you and I could have life everlasting. That is why it's so vitally important for us to understand the reality of this new covenant, because it helps us to see everything in Scripture very, very clearly.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob. Wonderful thoughts from you and Richard on this edition of Basic Gospel. Friends, you know the new covenant clearly reveals Jesus Christ as the light of the world, and that's the message we need to spread far and wide. Others need to hear, believe, and live in this good news of the new covenant. That's why we ask you to join us in getting the word out by supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. It's the message, and we want you to help. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Canadian friends, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada. You'll find that prominent donate link right there. I want to remind our brand new listeners to Basic Gospel that we have a special CD for you. It's called God's Will for You. All you need to do is go to basicgospel.net/free and request your copy, or you can call and speak with Michelle right now at 844-322-2742. Just tell her you'd like a copy of God's Will for You if you're a new Basic Gospel listener. Well, now until tomorrow, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all this ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be right back again for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.